on May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, November 26, 2021. I am Dave Biddle. I'm very happy to be joined by Jonah Booker for his usual Friday visit. We hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving yesterday, and now we get to look ahead to the game tomorrow, J-Book. Buckeyes at Wolverines, high noon. Buckeyes favored by 8.5. Who wins this game and why, J-Book?
Dave, right before we started this call, I watched the Ohio State hype video. And it got my blood flowing early this morning. So I'm fired up for this call to talk about this game. And I'm going into this game feeling really confident. I think this Ohio State offense is absolutely on fire. A lot of people like to point out the defense and the defensive issues, the national analysts. But if you look at what Ohio State has been doing over the last 6 weeks, they're only giving up 9 points per game in the first half, whereas Ohio State's offense is scoring about 37. So a lot of the numbers on the defensive side are misleading because they absolutely calls off the dogs. And at that point, they're pretty much in the prevent defense where teams are allowed to get some cheap yards after the game is out of hand. But this game right here is going to come down to the trenches on both sides of the football. Can the Ohio State defensive line get after Cade McNamara? I think they can. And then, obviously, you have the two outstanding defensive ends on Michigan's part. I'm tired of hearing about those guys. That's all you've been hearing from the Michigan side and analysts saying, well, if Michigan has a chance, they're going to need to get pressure. They're going to need to get home. Those defensive ends are going to have to play out of this world. It's time for the Ohio State tackles to show why they are considered the best duo in all of college football. Stand up, lock that base, and give your quarterback the time that he needs. And if he can do that, Ohio State's offense is going to be prime ready for an absolute drumming up there in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, I think maybe, now hopefully Ohio State just starts fast like they have against Purdue and Michigan State the last 2 weeks, where they could just do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted in the first half. This Michigan defense, though, is better than anything Ohio State has seen. So I think they might start somewhat slow for their standards, but I do not see this Michigan defense as good as they are. I don't think they're great. I think they are good, better than I thought they'd be. Over 60 minutes, I just don't see them hanging with this Ohio State team. There's just too much firepower. I'm convinced. I know people don't like when I say things like this is the best in Ohio State history. I don't care. This is the best offense in Ohio State history. I think it's better than 1995, 2013. We can throw certain years out there. And some recent years with Justin Fields as well. I think this is the best offense Ohio State's ever had. And this is a good but not great Michigan defense. Their schedule has been very soft. When you go back and look at their schedule, I know you know this. For the listeners that don't know, Michigan's had a very soft schedule up to this point. Now, they did beat Wisconsin and beat them handily. But back then, that was a different Wisconsin team. It's kind of like playing Ohio State in week two as opposed to playing Ohio State right now. That was a different Wisconsin team. So I will say Michigan got a good win there. But man, I just don't see this Michigan defense hanging with Ohio State for 60 minutes, J-Book.
Yeah, and the thing that I've been saying all week is make this Michigan team uncomfortable. They are a front-running team. Their offense is a dink-and-dunk offense with Cade McNamara. You look at that first half against Maryland. I mean, even against Maryland, this guy was averaging like 4 yards a throw. 4 yards per completion. So it's a dink and dunk offense. And when I say start to make them feel uncomfortable is if you can jump out on them, you're going to force them to have to throw the football down the field. And if they're having to throw the football down the field, that is something that those guys are not comfortable with, because you're going to have to abandon that run game. Jim wants to do 3 yards in a cloud of dust, dump it off to the tight ends, short passes to get the ball out of Kay's hand, because he can throw it up for grabs. You know, he's been pretty solid this year, but if you're forcing them to stretch the field in order to try to come back, that's when you start making them get out of their comfort zone. So my thing is, Dave, is if you win the toss, take the football, because if you can jump out early, 7-0, your defense turns around, gets a quick stop, boom, the offense is in prime position right now to hit them with some body blows by going up 14-0. If you're up 14-0, right now on Michigan, then you're taking away that run game. You're forcing them to panic a little bit, because they know that if they don't answer, they're going to start pressing, because if they don't answer, that Ohio State offense is ripe to try to run away with this ball game.
I agree. If Ohio State gets up 2 scores early, I mean, they could end up running away with this, because Michigan does not react well when they get punched in the mouth. I mean, I go back to that. I've watched them a lot this year. I go back to that Rutgers game. They were beating the brakes off Rutgers in the first half, and Rutgers came back on them and made that a game. And Rutgers almost put that game into overtime and gave Michigan a heck of a fight, because that was the first time Michigan really got punched in the face this year, and they did not handle it well. Same thing against Michigan State. They ended up losing that game. So, yeah, if Ohio State can get up on them 2 scores early, that's going to spell disaster for Michigan. All right, let's give our score prediction. Buckeyes, like I said, favored by 8.5. It opened at 7.5, so the money's going toward the Buckeyes. What's your final score prediction, Jay Book?
Yeah, I have it. You know, I've been going back and forth here. Is it going to be a tight win? Is it going to be a game where you see Ohio State pull away? I don't see a Michigan State type of blowout here. That's just not the way the game typically goes, as far as just absolutely blanketing them. So I have Ohio State winning this game 41-24. I just think the offense, you know, they wake up out of bed and they can score 40 points. And to me, the key here is going to be Travion Henderson. He's going to be the X factor, because I truly believe Michigan, they're going to try to do everything that they can to try to limit this passing offense. And how do you do that? You're going to have to go to a too high safety look, which at that point, you're going to have to start pulling guys out of the box. And that's when Travion Henderson can start doing his damage. Michigan's two weakest spots on their defense are their defensive tackles. If Ohio State can start gashing them for 5-6 yards a pop, then they're going to have to start bringing guys down into the box. And once they start bringing down guys into the box, you're talking about leaving the three best wide receivers in college football one-on-one. And that's when Ohio State will absolutely go to work. And a lot of people, you know, they look at this passing attack, but if you look at the last two games where Ryan Day has been the play caller in this, he's very patient with running the football. The last time they saw each other, Dobbins and Teague and them, between the two of them, they had about 50 carries. If you look at the game prior to that in 2018, the running backs had 36 carries. So he's not afraid to rely on the running game in order to set up the pass here. And I think that's going to be a similar situation here. And one thing before, you know, we move on, I will take a page out of the Michigan State book. Tempo those guys to death.
Yes.
McDonald had a hard time getting the calls in, getting personnel on the field, because Michigan State found something there where if you start tempoing those guys and not substituting on offense, they will have issues there with communication. Make them have to make split decisions against this offense. And if they can do that, I think that's another way to really get those guys off their balance there.
And I have no doubt Ryan Day is going to do that. Tempo is going to be a big part of this game. And he, you know, every week Ohio State uses some tempo. I think it's going to be a much bigger part of the offense tomorrow in Ann Arbor. I have no doubt, because you're right. I mean, that was a huge part of Michigan State coming back on them, was Michigan did not deal well with the tempo at all. They were getting, you know, 12 men on the field, or when they didn't get a penalty, they weren't set. And Michigan State was just, you know, doing whatever they wanted there late in that game. So, yeah, I think tempo is going to be a big part of this attack for Ohio State offensively. Our scores are similar. Last week it wasn't, but this week it is. I have Ohio State winning this game 42-27. You have 41-24. You know, again, I think there might be some nervous moments in the first half, but I think Ohio State's going to pull away in the second half. Hopefully it's just a blowout and there's no nerves involved. Hopefully we're like basically celebrating at halftime. But I do expect a tighter game this year than it's been recently. So I have Ohio State 42, Michigan 27. I just don't think this Michigan secondary, I think Dax Hill's pretty good. I don't know how they're going to hang with this these three Ohio State receivers. I think Ruckert might be more involved than usual. And you know Ryan Day's been saving some plays. I think Travion Henderson out of the backfield. There's going to be some plays we haven't seen. On both sides, of course, Michigan's been saving some stuff too, I'm sure. But Ryan Day, man, he's like a mad scientist in there. I think the Buckeyes, I think they're going to get the job done and quite comfortably tomorrow. All right. Now, if Harbaugh loses this game, J-Buck, he's going to be 10-2 this season. But the two will be against Michigan State and Ohio State. I mean, what do they do with him if he loses this game tomorrow? They can't fire him, right? Or what do you think they do?
They'll probably sign him to a new extension. I mean, 10 games is pretty much the ceiling for that program. And for them, they're just happy to be in the mix. You know, they're in contention. They're a top five team in November. So for them, this is gravy. Obviously, they want to win this game because there's so much at stake here. But the fact that the program, you know, pretty much waved the white flag last year. They didn't even know Jim Harbaugh was going to be back and be fired, but you have to give him credit. He's probably found something with this younger coaching staff. He was able to really motivate these guys. I was super skeptical going into the season about how good they were going to be with the complete coaching turnover, and they've done a pretty good job. So for them, having a five-star quarterback in JJ coming back for the next several years, I just think that they see an opportunity for him to build on this.
Speaking of coaches in the state of Michigan, our guy Mel Tucker, 10 years, $95 million guaranteed. $95 million guaranteed. Ryan Day must see this and say, ha, 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 that sounds good to me. If you're going to pay Mel Tucker $9.5 million a year, you're going to need to give me at least $10 million a year. And I don't think Ryan Day's in it for the money, but his agent would be crazy not to use this for his advantage.
And not just Mel, you look at the deal that James Franklin signed. I'm pretty sure when LSU hires their coach, USC is going to be monster deals. But the thing that Michigan State is trying to do is they want to take that next step. And it's, to me, it's good to see in the Big Ten, because how many times have we been, talking and felt like Ohio State was somewhat on an island when it came to programs that were completely all in when it came to the Big Ten football. And basically Mel went to the boosters, and his contract is privately funded. This is all done by private boosters here. So the school is not necessarily on the hook for this contract. It's the billionaire boosters who has decided to play NFL owners with a college football team, similar to Phil Knight and T. Boone Pickens down at Oklahoma State. So the boosters are ponying up this dollar. They're going to have a significant pool of resources for the assistant coaches, support staff, facility upgrades. So this right here is saying that Michigan State has decided to go all in on their football program to try to take them to the next step. And listening to some of the radio up there in that area, they said this move right here is not about Michigan. Because in their eyes, they're a better program than Michigan. But this move here is to catch Ohio State in order to try to close the gap against Ohio State, which obviously we've seen is blown wide open. But in order to try to catch them, you got to be able to retain staff. You got to be able to recruit at a high level. You got to have, top-notch facilities in the Big Ten. And so for them, they are trusting Mel to take them to that next step. Can he do it? I don't know. I don't know how much of lightning in a bottle it was getting Walker out of the transfer portal. There's some speculation that the Wisconsin running back who transferred has been eyeing him. He's been recently up on campus. And if you listen to Mel, it's going to be another completely roster turnover. So he's expecting to hit the portal harder this year, once again, getting another potential 20 to 30 guys. So he's completely flipping D'Antonio's roster. The worry that I will have is if you're tapping in so aggressive into the transfer portal, at some point you have to start getting your own recruits and your own guys and developing them from younger 18-year-olds into the program, because you can't sustain so much roster turnover just from the transfer portal. But from what I've been hearing, what I've been reading, there's a lot of guys up there that Mel thinks are not Big Ten caliber players. They should be playing in the MAC somewhere. And he's going to have those tough conversations with them towards the latter end of D'Antonio's career there. Recruiting pretty much fell off a cliff. D'Antonio just refused to recruit. They got lazy. Heck, they had Jim Bowman up there as one of their top recruiters. And Ohio State fans remember Jim Bowman and how terrible he was as a recruiter. So they have a lot of roster turnover there. But for them, if the school is not on the hook and Mel's getting paid that big money, then to me, Ryan Day should be commanding something much, much higher. But Gene Smith, he's kind of a fiscal conservative when it comes to the coaching salaries. He's always said that he doesn't want to be the one that sets the market or leads the market there. So I suspect they're going to take care of Ryan Day. They're going to take care of the coaching staff. They have no doubt about I have no doubt about it that Gene will take care of those guys. But I don't know how much higher he's going to go, because at some point, these coaching salaries is going to be a balloon. It's going to pop, because, you know, you look at the openings right now across college football, and just among the coaching payouts, it's like $80 million. Between USC and Florida and LSU with Ed's deal. So it's going to be something that a lot of these schools tap into private donors in order to get these deals done. But whatever Gene has to do to make sure he locks Ryan Day up. I say this before we move on, Dave. If James Franklin can get a 10-year deal, Ryan Day absolutely deserves a 10-year contract here.
Yeah, 10 years, $100 million sounds about right to me. I mean, you know, as many years and more money. James Franklin's deal was 10 years for $75 million. As we mentioned, Mel Tucker, 10 years, $95 million. So Mel getting $2 million more per year than James Franklin. And that makes sense to me. Right now, I mean, Mel Tucker's doing good things with that Michigan State program, where Penn State's kind of stagnant. We'll see what happens there. Last thing, we got some Big Ten football today at 1:30, Iowa at Nebraska. It's interesting. Now, if Iowa wins this game today, and Minnesota upsets Wisconsin tomorrow in Minneapolis, Iowa will be champs. Now, Iowa is actually an underdog today to Nebraska, who always loses by one score. Well, I guess to Ohio State, it was 9 points. So they always lose by single digits, I should say. Now, Iowa is 1 point underdog, and Wisconsin is favored by 7 over Minnesota tomorrow. But I'm kind of hoping Iowa wins and Minnesota wins. There's a little fresh blood in the Big Ten championship game if Ohio State makes it. I'm rooting for Iowa.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, I hope Ohio State, you know, can obviously pull off the Michigan game, but I would love to see a new team in the Big Ten championship. We've seen Wisconsin numerous times now. But yeah, this game here, it's going to be an ugly game. I believe both quarterbacks are out for Nebraska and Iowa. So if you're a betting person, that under, I wouldn't be surprised if that under doesn't go over 20, 25 points. I think it's at 42 right now. But with both quarterbacks out of this game here, it's a toss-up. I mean, you never know what you're going to get from the backups there. Nebraska's backup quarterback came in, you know, last week, and he wasn't too sharp. Same with Iowa. But yeah, I hope Iowa can pull this out. Minnesota, it's going to be tough sledding for them. If I had to pick that game, I think Wisconsin will win it because they're playing some of their best football right now. But in that rivalry, you never know. There's a lot at stake. Those kids, they play on emotions here. I'm sure PJ Fleck will have those guys fired up, ready to go. But yeah, I would love to see Iowa get to the Big Ten championship. I couldn't imagine Ohio State match up against that Iowa team on a fast track, because Iowa, they are extremely, extremely slow. You know, solid fundamentals, but when it comes to foot speed and spreading those guys out, I think that would be kind of hilarious to see on TV in the Big Ten championship.
Great stuff as always from Jonah Booker. Really appreciate it, Jay Book. And thank you to all the listeners out there for tuning in to the show. We appreciate that very much as well. Enjoy the leftovers today, Bucknutters. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend. Go Bucks tomorrow. Let's hear that Buckeye swag, best damn band in the land.
CBS.
CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.